John chapter 12. We continue to ourselves to prepare for a corporate proclamation of the gospel at the table of the Lord by a devotional series on the person of Christ incarnate and the work of redemption. Today we consider a rather veiled reference to the cross coming directly from the lips of our Lord about 1 week before the crucifixion, as is recorded in John 12, 32. Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all." Notice that the word "men" is in italic, "unto me." That word in italic indicates the fact that it is inferred, though the word "men" or "people" is not there, and it's a good thing that it's not there, and I'll show you why in a moment. But please join me in the 12th chapter of John. I'd like to begin reading back at verse 27 and read through verse 34 that we might perceive the context of that declarative statement of the Lord Jesus in 12:32. Jesus said, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." People, therefore, that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, "An angel spake to him." Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, "We have heard out of the law that Christ, or Messiah, abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Father, this morning, we cannot improve upon the blessed words that flew out of the Lord's mouth unto those with an ear to hear, as well as to those who cared not. Help us as those that desire to hear thee to enter into the moment of recorded time in which the Lord Jesus said these words and defined the parameters of his own crucifixion, his own death, as on our behalf. May the words of Christ in this morning hour prepare us for the fellowship of the Lord's table. And may your people partake with good cheer and great expectation, focused and refined exclusively in thee. Help us then, as we spend a few moments to warm our hearts to the truth of Christ before we remember him at his table and declare the truth of him in the gospel one to another. This we pray in Jesus' name and for his blessed sake. Amen. It is clear when you read the record of Christ leading up to the crucifixion that Jesus knew where he was to die, when he was to die, how he was to die, why he was to die and what would be the consequence. Yet as he neared the hour of that appointment set in eternity past, an appointment set in eternity past, as he neared the actual time of that appointment, his blessed soul was troubled. So says verse 27. The Lord confronted his own disquieted soul with a reminder of his missional purpose. And then, after reminding himself of his missional purpose, deliberately prayed these words, "Father, glorify thy name." Three times during the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus, God the Father spoke audibly. This is the third and final time, verse 28. God's voice confirmed to the Lord and a few of his faithful followers that the Father was indeed glorified in the Lord Jesus and would be glorified the more in things soon to take place. The voice of God was heard by most others in the crowd as a natural sound of thunder, although a few said that they thought an angel had spoken to Jesus. Verse 29. Jesus declared that the time had come for the world's systems, the world's standards, the world's goals, the world's religions to be proven folly, and for the prince of this world, aka Satan, to be driven out of power. If you've ever played the childhood game King on the Hill, then you understand exactly what Jesus was talking about when he said, "Now shall the prince of this world be cast out," verse 31. King of the Hill, you get on the top of the hill, and as people try to knock you out, you push them back, 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 you get up, ready? I'm king of the hill. Well, Jesus said that on this day, at this time, Satan would no longer be king of the hill. Why? Because king of heaven would be king of the hill on this day. This is great stuff. Words of the Lord. Fires you up to think about it. Interestingly, the use of John's phrase, lifted up, has been strangely understood by the scholars and the commentators. Some say it's a reference to resurrection. Some say it's a reference to ascension. Pope Urban VI, declared that this was a reference to the exaltation of Christ, which granted to him papal authority to gather all the nations of the world under him as Pope. Okay. You're wrong, but okay. John's use of the phrase lifted up was first used in John 3:14, where Jesus told Nicodemus that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man or Messiah be lifted up. And then again, John records Jesus telling the Pharisees in John 8:28, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am. When you lift up the Son of Man, then ye shall know that I am the great I am. And then, of course, in 12:33, you have the words lifted up, plainly given to us by way of their meaning. 12:32 are the words found, 33 the explanation, that those words signify not only the death of the Lord Jesus, but death by crucifixion. The Bible specifically says, Pope Urban, the Bible specifically says, you evangelical commentary nut, the Bible specifically says what lifted up means. It means crucifixion of Messiah. And interestingly, the people that were standing around Jesus, they knew what lifted up meant. The first century Jewish leaders and the people at large did not expect Messiah to die at all, as verse 34 indicates, let alone to die by crucifixion. If they had the thought that the Jewish Messiah would die at the hands of Jewish men, they would have thought stoned to death. But here, Jesus talks about the Jewish Messiah as being crucified. Christ and cross did not go together in the minds of first century Jewish people. But Jesus knew exactly when and how he would die. The meaning of these words, be lifted up, are important to specify, or as the Bible word is, signify, before you go any further, so that you're in the zone of thought to be able to appropriate the things that indeed are found right here. These words, verse 32, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all unto me. The meaning, lifted up, clear, as signified within the text. Secondly, note the magnetic-like projection of consequence as indicated in the words, will draw all. The Lord viewed his death as purposeful and consequential in glorifying God. The basic idea that is forwarded here by the Lord Jesus, that his death would somehow be beneficial to others, is sinfully adopted today by Islamic terrorists and the suicidally depressed. The Islamic terrorist, wrong God, wrong thought, nonetheless sees his death, his sacrificial death, as benefit to the cause. It's bad thinking, but it does kind of parallel the thinking of the Lord Jesus. And then there is, of course, the thought, the erroneous thought, the evil thought, the sinful thought of the suicidally depressed, who says, nobody loves me, nobody cares. If I died, nobody would even manage to lift a sense of cry out of their voice, let alone in their soul. And so on that basis, they decide that they will off themselves. And they're thinking that mother would be better off, or dad would be better off, or brother would be better off, or the family would be better off, or the church family would be better off, or somebody would be better off by the aspect of my death. It's just nuts. But I tell you that a religious people and nutty people have weird thoughts. And sometimes those weird thoughts are just close enough to the biblical thought that somebody could think that they're all the same thought, and they're not the same thought. The plan of God was construed before there ever was a blade of grass. The concept of Jesus Christ dying for our sins was clear in the mind of God as the missional purpose before God ever created a single thing. And what we have in the Bible is the story, his story, revealing to us the whole of Christ and his truth concerning the salvation of the soul. The generalized connection should help us to remember just exactly how weird it is that you, along with preachers like me, associate love, joy, and hope with an instrument of death. I played around with the concept for a lot of years, but now as I near my senior years and the thought of maybe having to at some point in time step away from regular pulpit ministry, I've been thinking about launching a new line of jewelry. I thought about having someone create as a jeweler little electric chairs that women could pop in their ears or hang from their neck, or maybe some little hangman nooses that they could pop in their ears or hang from their neck. And yet women, often silly women, put crosses in their ears and hang from their neck. Instruments of death. It is not easy for an unsaved person to understand the difference between the Islamic terrorists and the suicidally depressed and the Lord Jesus. But boy, is there a difference. And those of you that know the difference are supposed to have to preach on a day like this with me and proclaim the glories of the Lord from the table of the Lord as often as we do it. You're to be clear, I'm to be clear, and we are to voice that clarity before others at the table of the Lord. We do indeed associate the cross of Christ with God's love. We do indeed associate the cross of Christ with our joy. We do indeed associate the cross of Christ with real hope because of the specific, verified communication of God's eternal plan in the Scriptures. Take away the Bible, and I'm just as ignorant as anybody else. Put the Bible in my hand, better put it in my heart, and I've got something to say to you concerning the reality of God's gift to man in Christ Jesus. Now, the word draw, I will draw all unto me, is strong. The same word is used for those Popeye-like arms of Peter when he drew the net of fishes onto the shore after a large catch. Muscles popping, Peter drew the large catch of fish. Christ drawing all by the cross does not mean all people will be saved. The meaning of the word all in the text is defined by the context of this particular text, and that context is best seen in chapter 11, verses 49 to 51. Flip back a page. These are the words of Caiaphas, who was the high priest during that day. And one of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. This spake he, Caiaphas, of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. Jesus did die for the Jewish nation. John 12:32, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all. All what? All people? No, all nations, Gentiles, Jews, every tribe and tongue and nation drawn to God because of the death of Jesus Christ for our sin. By the cross of Christ, Satan was driven out of his position of power over all mankind, and people of all nations began to be drawn into the family of God, so that, Paul says, all the family of God is named in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ knew when he was to die, he knew how he was to die, he knew why he was to die. And that brings us, thirdly, to the marvel of it all. The words after the Lord's assertion of death, verse 32, "And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all unto me." The marvel of the words after the Lord's assertion of death are "unto me." If I said to you, as soon as I die, I'd like us to get together and have a pizza party. Now, that'd be a stupid thing. It'd be kind of like the world's idea of a funeral today. Let's have a party after somebody dies. It's a stupid thought, but nonetheless, it's the world's thought. They call funerals now celebrations. What a joke. What a joke that is. But nonetheless, let's have a party after I die. We'll get together and have a party after I die. We'll have a pizza party after I die. If I said that to you, I would expect that you are intelligent enough to know I would not be attending. If I die and you have a pizza party, I will not be there, because I will be dead. The Lord, who would die for our sins, knew that death could not hold him. He knew his death was not his end, just like his birth was not his beginning. His death was not his end. And his life is so much more than a good example. We're talking about the one whose birth was not his beginning, whose death was not his end, and whose life is so much more than just an example or pattern that men should follow. No, the Lord knew that he would resurrect from the grave. The Lord knew that the consequence, the eternal consequence of his death, would not be death, but life, and that forever. Life forever with the family of God. And the reason why believers, like most of us, can have a sense of joy and hope and love and warmth in celebrating the Lord's table is that we understand that by his death we live. And we don't just live as we now live, but we live as we shall live with the Lord and forever. On this day of record, Jesus demonstrated that he knew when he would die, how he would die, why he would die, what would be the consequence. We could say, what would be the living consequence of that death? And we who now know and understand the truth of Christ in the full, as he did on that day of record, declare this day the truth of him from the table of testimony. This is a we thing. We do this in memory of Christ. We do this to show or to proclaim the meaning, the significance of the Lord's death until he comes. Father, help us then to preach well today as a congregation the truth of Christ from this table of the Lord. Strengthen our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Help us as we seek to represent the truth of Him from His table of unique and prescribed fellowship for your people. We do pray in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.